I know you're not supposed to judge a book by the cover, but your book is bright yellow and there's a moped. So I was like, I'm judging this. I love her.
We're going to talk about somebody that I definitely did not date in my early 20s. We're going to talk about mopeds, yellow books, The Greatest Showman. Wait, what is promisely? That's not even a word. I promise you guys, this is going to be like the last time we talk about The Greatest Showman for a while. I absolutely promise you guys that. But this is a really exciting conversation that I had with my new friend, Liz. And yeah, I did not check with her before I called her my friend. But I believe that I can call her my friend. After this conversation, I was so inspired and so convicted. And it's like the conversation with the big sister that we all need when we feel like we want to dream and we want to be ourselves and like do big things in the world and dream big. But life is in the way. Our worries are in the way. Our stress is in the way. How in the world do we still make that positive choice to wake up and move forward every single day? In Liz's book, Beginner's Pluck, she talks about this and it is absolutely inspiring. Go ahead and settle up and settle down for this episode all about Liz. For this interview with Liz. Okay. So before we jump into this episode with Liz, which, you know, maybe I accidentally did have my computer on the Wi-Fi selection where it makes us sound like this sometimes. Maybe I did. Maybe I didn't. I guess we're about to find out. I promise you, her words are absolutely beautiful and inspiring regardless of my mistakes. I just wrote that song. And before we jump into this interview, I want you guys to know that you can hear some of the songs that I've written by joining me over at Patreon. So I want to say a huge thank you to my Patreon community for their support. Here's the thing, guys. It's $5 a month. And in return, as a way of saying thank you for funding my music and my podcast and my videos, I upload exclusive content to Patreon. So every week there's a bonus episode of this podcast. I record some of our favorite songs from pop culture, also from musicals, like The Greatest Show from The Greatest Showman, which you just might be hearing in the background because I wanted to give you guys a little taste of what it's like to be a patron, all the exclusive content that you get regarding my music and this podcast, if you're interested in that kind of stuff. So thank you again to everybody that's already a patron. And if you enjoy this podcast and you're thinking, wow, I'd like to support this kid, I want to make sure this podcast stays alive. Or if you're thinking, wow, she's kind of weird, I'm kind of weird, I think I would like to hear more of her thoughts on things, then hop over to patreon.com/JamieGrace and join the fun. So thanks in advance, guys. Enjoy this little snippet of The Greatest Show and enjoy this combo with Liz.
We won't come down and the sun can't stop us now. Watching it come true, it's taking over you. This is The Greatest Show.
Liz Forkin Bohannon is the founder of Seiko Designs. Seiko is an ethical fashion brand that works to educate and empower women. By providing employment opportunities and educational opportunities, Seiko enables women to continue their education and become leaders in their country. In 4 years, Seiko has grown from 3 women making sandals together under a mango tree to an international fashion brand that provides employment, educational opportunities, and working training to over 50 women in East Africa. Liz splits her time between Uganda and Portland, Oregon, where she and her husband, Ben, run Seiko Designs. Here's our conversation.
I'm curious. This is such a creeper question, but I feel like it always helps just more context to those who are listening. I know you're married and I know you've got human kids. So who are your people?
Okay. I love that question. So I sleep in a bed with my husband, Ben, who we've been married going on, we're past the point where you're exactly sure of the years. I think 11 years, 12 years. In addition to being married, we're co-founders. So we run our company, Seiko Designs, together. So that is a unique element of our relationship, being business partners and lovers all at once.
Yeah.
And then we have 2 little boys named Theo and Will. Theo is 4. Will is 2. And then we have another baby on the way that is due in May. I just wrote a poem about it. So that's my, like, that's who's in my home. I will say, I joke that I live in a home with outdoor hallways because I live on what I also jokingly refer to as an urban commune here in Portland, Oregon. So my house is separated by about 5 feet from three other houses that are kind of all my houses. So long story short, we live in very close community with our best friends. So we all basically, we bought like a single family lot and split it up and built like three tiny homes on one lot. So we kind of share everything. So we have this giant house with outdoor hallways, if you will. So in addition to the people that I actually like share a room with, those are my people as well. Yeah. That I live with, that I see every single day.
I don't know if you know this. Our family used to do that. It was actually kind of an accident.
Okay.
After I graduated from college, I really wanted to buy a house, but I didn't want to like do the most and buy a house because I was touring full time.
Yeah.
So there was a small home right next door to my parents. And I was like, well, I'll just, you know, cop that. I like them a lot. It'll save me on groceries.
Yeah.
And then there was a season when my sister and her husband were helping my parents out. My mom has some health complications. And so, and then there was a fourth house right in that little pocket that my parents had as a guest house. And so I had that same thing for a while. It's so great to be able to like live in close community with your people. And just like learn and grow with them. It got to a point where like, I don't know, I started kind of like getting annoyed for a while. Cause like I was single for the longest time. And so like, there'd be like lots of date nights happening and I would be like, guys, let's go out. And everybody was like, no. So that was really cool for me. But switching gears, let's just womp womp on my past. So onto your book though.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. It's so good. Like I said, I judged it by the cover and I was right. So maybe I should be the one judging books by the cover.
I wonder how book cover designers feel about the phrase, you shouldn't judge a book by its cover. Cause if I were that, I would be like, but you should.
Like there's literally context. It helps so much. Like I promise you guys, if you do not have Liz's book, what's wrong with you? You can get it on Amazon Prime in like 30 seconds, or if it's that fast, that's actually a violation, but you can get it pretty fast. And I just want to tell you a couple of things that I love about your book. And then a couple of questions that I have about it as well. I love that there are interludes. That is the coolest thing in the world. And I love that there are footnotes. As someone that has ADHD, I thrive in that space of like, hey, this is what you really need to know about this information. Was that your idea?
Yeah, it's kind of a forced idea, I think, because my editor, I had so many parentheticals.
Yeah.
You know, where you like write a sentence and then I would write like a paragraph of a like in parentheses.
Yeah.
I got feedback that like, hey, that's kind of hard to follow. And that's just kind of like your brain going on a wild rabbit chase.
Right.
And I was like, yes, I hear that. But also for me to have my authentic voice, even though they're footnotes or parentheticals, they're actually not less important to me. Like they add context or humor or hey, I can't totally get into this now, but this is an important note for us to circle back to. So footnote, I do feel like was a way of me maintaining my voice and authenticity while making it like a little bit easier on the reader to not feel, because if they're not like you, who's like pretty comfortable, the book is, I read a review on Amazon, which I promised myself I wouldn't do. One of the more like negative reviews had to do with like, they're like, I mean, it's literally just like, she's talking to you.
I love.
And I wanted that, and that some people aren't like super into that, but I wanted it to feel like a conversation. And so for me, including those things that like, is this integral to the plot? No, but it is integral to like the fullness of my voice and authenticity on this idea.
Yeah. I wonder if part of the reason why at least I received it so well, I mean, yes, I do have ADHD, but also as a younger sister, like it really did feel very nurturing in a way, the way that it's written. It's like, well, hey, this is what's going on. Like, this is, hey, I do work in Uganda. By the way, I'm white. Let me dig into this real quick. Like, I just really appreciated that. It felt very much like, it's very intentional. And so I really appreciate that those things were still there.
This was the hardest thing about writing a book to me, is that you only have so many words. And for me, like having a publisher be like, okay, we need 60,000 words, to other people that might be like, oh my gosh, how am I going to write 60,000 words? And I'm like, oh my gosh, only 60,000 words. And it was really challenging. Like, especially when you write a book like mine, that is a little bit kind of memoir-esque in that it's telling stories from your life, there's this real pressure to like, I need everybody to know everything that I think about all of the things.
Yeah.
And turns out that would be a really bad book. Like, you need focus. You have to be ruthless with like, what story do you include? What principle or idea do you include? Where are you taking the reader? That ends up being like 5% of where you want to go. It's like, I could have written an entirely different book based off of so many of those footnotes.
Yeah.
The one of which you mentioned, I really struggled with that, of being able to say, okay, that is not, it's not the thesis of this book, but it's too important to just not even address at all. Like, we at least need to say, this is a super valid conversation to have. I can't have it in 60,000 words, but like, let's talk about it on your podcast.
Right.
For example.
Exactly. That, well, I mean, speaking of that too, you've also got your podcast as well, which makes me really happy because I feel the same way. It's like, well, I feel most of the same way as far as like the book minimum. Like when I was writing my book, I was like, or the word minimum, I was like, yeah, that's like too many words for me to actually focus and sit there to do. But there were so many more things I wanted to talk about, which is a lot of the reason why I have a podcast, because I was like, I have too many things to say fit into a book.
Yep.
One of the things that I love, it's actually like fairly early on in your book. I'm just going to like read like a few sentences you wrote, and I would just love to know your thoughts. You said, what if feeling lost or stuck because of your lack of experience, confidence, connections, and know-how was not a hindrance, but instead a secret weapon in your journey to building a life of purpose and impact? Like, that's so powerful because like, even those people, I guess, would like look at my career and be like, oh, there's like success there. I mean, and there is, I'm grateful for that. Like, there's still so many moments where I'm like, oh, I don't have enough. I'm not doing enough. I'm not like, I'm still at the starting point. Like I'm nowhere to the finish line, but I love how you're like, yeah, that's a good thing, bro. Like, can you just like, can we just like, can you just like speak to that?
Yeah. You and everybody who has ever felt that, I'm watching other people that look like they have it together, that knew from, it sounds like by the way they tell their story from the day they came out of the womb, it was like, they knew who they were and what they wanted to do. Listen, I was on a call with this like really amazing public speaker that we have the same agent, and he's like telling his story. He grew up in Turkey and like knew from age 8 that he wanted to be an astrophysicist, and that's what he did. And he wrote this book about it now, blah, blah. Awesome. Amazing guy. And that's a really cool story. A lot of people hear his story and they're like, when I was 8, I like was into great popsicles, which is my story that I'm just like, no, I did not come out of the womb with that. I feel like I've spent time floundering and in insecurity and in a lack of confidence and focus. And the thing is, you can meet people in that with two different ways of trying to convince that that really hasn't been their experience. And that never works because people generally know their experience, their lived experience better than anybody else who's watching their life, right? Yeah. Or you can just literally simply reframe it and be like, maybe you have felt that, but here is why that's not something to be bummed out about or to feel broken or ashamed about. It is actually an asset. And I really believe that. And kind of the core foundational principle of Beginner's Pluck is using the concepts of design thinking. And in design thinking, and we won't get into the whole school of thought, but there is something really, really powerful about being able to evaluate a problem, evaluate a situation, evaluate your own life without actually having those preconceived notions. It increases your curiosity. It increases your ability to maybe make a directional shift in a really surprising way that leads you to something that was meant to be all along. Those things actually are a lot harder to do when you're in the 20% of people that are like, I know what I'm here for. I know my purpose. I know what I'm going after, and can become kind of laser focused. And so this book is really like, I hope that people, when they end this book, feel partly a sigh of relief of like, I'm not broken. I just have to reframe these parts of how I think about myself and my story and realize that there's actually like magic and gold in that position and posture versus like something to be bummed out about and discontent with or insecure about.
I love that so much. And I love the context of reframing. I mean, that can be applicable in like really big stuff like purpose and value, like you were just speaking on. And like, I'm not even saying this to be funny, but also in things that can seem a lot more minuscule. I know when I was single, I went on this really not great date with a guy, it was one of those situations where like, I kind of, besides like my husband's my first, was my first boyfriend, but I thought when I was like quote unquote dating this guy a few years before my husband, I thought we were dating, but then he said that I was a sister in Christ, and you know, it's fine. We don't have to unpack that, but I had gotten some chicken piccata at this Italian restaurant and it was so good. Like it was amazing. But then that was the night he told me that I was his sister in Christ. I was very confused. And, you know, after that, I was like, I'm going to have to go to so many Italian restaurants now and eat piccata to undo the memory of eating it with my brother. And it was just, it was crazy. But I know that seems goofy, but I genuinely mean it. Like it worked. Now chicken piccata is one of my favorite meals. And I don't even remember the name of the restaurant that I had it with him, which is very great for me. That sounded sarcastic, but I actually mean it.
I could not agree more. One of the things I'm most passionate about is like, our ability, the power of the stories that we tell ourselves and our ability to reframe. It's like there is life and life happens to you sometimes. There are things that truly are out of your control. How you frame what happened, the story that you tell yourself is so powerful.
Yeah.
Those stories over time make up an entire life and worldview and posture and experience of the world. And so much of that is actually within our, I'm going to call it creative control. I meet so many people who are like, but I'm not creative. I'm not a dreamer. I'm not a visionary. And I'm like, hey girl, hey, not always girls, guys too. The percentage of time that we spend worrying about things, like over 25% of our waking hours. And these are for people like, you know, that don't experience like clinical anxiety or paranoia disorders or something, just like, you know, neurotypical people spend over 25% of their waking thinking hours worrying. And I'm like, okay, we could look at that and be really depressed and be like, oh my gosh, it's inevitable. Or we could look at that and go, you know what worrying is? It is really creative storytelling about the future. And it's you going, but what if, but what if, but what if, but what if? And I'm not even asking that you stop asking, but what if? Literally all I'm suggesting is like, what if you tweaked it from, but what if, but what if, but what if to, but what if? And like have a sense of curiosity and wonder, like you're already a magnificently creative person. If you worry, you are coming up with stuff that statistically 91% chance it's not going to happen. You are a creative fiction writer in your brain. Yeah. You might as well write some fiction that would be fun to live into and have a good time.
That's so amazing. Dude, that's so good. That's so good. Because, you know, my sister and I, we genuinely believe that every person is creative. I mean, a lot of people believe that, but Morgan and I just like will holler it from the rooftops if we can. And I think that that's such a great way to tell people that, you know, I kind of like wrote this joking song the other night and put it on YouTube about cashews and how like I'm obsessed with cashews and I ran out and I thought they were gone. And then somebody like commented and they're like, oh, wow, like this doesn't sound like it's about cashews to me, you know, kind of alluding that it was probably about like my husband leaving or whatever. And I was like, y'all, if you only knew like how much I can make up in my mind when I'm hungry, like I will sit there and be like, oh, the cashews are gone. And now my life is over and I'll never get what I wanted and everything's falling apart. Like that's so true. Our worrying can really, it's such a creative tool.
You are wildly creative. So yeah. Go ahead. Tell yourself a fun story and then live into it and see what happens.
Yeah. Because
here's the other thing. We're terrified of dreaming positively or for thinking or visioning and having it not come true. We're terrified of it. I meet people all the time that are like, I can't set that goal. What if I get my hopes up? What if I have this dream and I fail and I look stupid and I'm embarrassed myself? And it's so interesting that we're so afraid of saying or believing something good could happen and then having it not come true. Yet we give so much of our emotional time and energy to anxiety and worry, knowing that it is statistically unlikely to happen, right? 91% chance the thing you're worrying about doesn't happen. Like, do you get on a plane when the pilot's like 91% chance we don't land safely today, folks? You know, like, are you going to invest your money in a stock that's like 91% this drops severely tomorrow? No. but with our worries and our anxiety, we're like, doesn't matter, here, take my money, take my sleep, take my energy. But then with our dreams and with our visioning about the future, we're like, I don't have time for that. Or if it doesn't come true, I'm going to look like an idiot. So we're like so stingy. So, but it's the same. It's just all creativity. It's all creativity with a different kind of story spin.
It's just, it's not that I feel called out, Elizabeth.
Oh, no, dang. She dropped Elizabeth on me. We're getting into it.
I feel called out, but whatever. Who cares?
I'm calling myself out, but because I struggle with anxiety and I struggle with worry. And so for me, it's like when I'm up at 3 a.m. in the bathroom reading a white paper about something I don't even understand that's fueled by my anxiety, instead of beating myself up for it, I just try to be gentle with myself and say, oh, sweet girl, look at all this creative energy you're spending right now. Is this the best use of this beautiful, magical, creative energy that you're spending? Yeah. And, or what if you just put your attention over here, that same creative energy towards something else, as opposed to just like beating myself up for it and being like, don't be a stupid, anxious worrier. And instead being like, you precious creative soul, maybe just use that a little bit more productively.
You guys, I'm telling you, Liz is like literally all of our new bonus big sister. Like that is like the most big sister kind of like framework. Oh my goodness. Girl, if you are loving this, I really liked the chapter find and replace. I feel like that is so like quintessential to what you're talking about right now. There's also a fun, like, is your brother Pat your older brother? Yeah. So, I mean, just speaking of siblings, like there's a really great big brother story in there. I'll leave that for the book, 'cause I just think it's a really funny thing that your brother did. But you talk about like solutions, and problems in here. Also, you use the word stop and you spelled it STAHHHP, on page 89. And that's something that I do regularly. And I was blessed by that deeply in my spirit. But if you could just,
my poor editor was just basically like, we're just sending this to press. There's so much in here that is like not okay, but I'm too tired. So we'll just,
I remember there was a moment where my editor hit me back and she was like, hey, there are some grammatical choices in the poetry that is this creative, or it was so gracious and sweet the way she said it. I was at the point, I'm like, so like afraid of confrontation. I would send her these like long emails, like, hey, yeah, that's how I liked it. But also if you think it's hard for the reader, you can take it out. But also, oh my gosh, I need help. Okay. So last question on your book for now, because I'm sure I'll just on a personal note, be harassing you about this for much time to come. So I love this question. It's rhetorical somewhat in the book, but you said, does solving this small problem get me one step closer to solving the really juicy problems? I mean, of course, like I've dug into this especially, but like, can you just like let us know what you mean by that?
Yeah, I think so much of life. So here's the thing, we all have problems. And we have problems that we can't avoid. And then we have problems that we make up for ourselves. And we can spend so much of our time and energy solving these little, and I'm just going to say it, these little stupid problems that they don't matter. And when we pull out, we're like, what is that? How is that aligned with my core values, with my dreams, with the world that I want to build? And you come out of that going like, oh, not at all. Like, oh, I like my, like love handles. I'm having a really hard time connecting like pesky love handles to like the woman that I want to be in the world and what I want to create and the community that I want to build and the justice that I want to see come. Like literally, like you don't need good abs to do any of that. Like if I had a goal of going out and being like a supermodel, okay, maybe I would. So it's just like, but you can spend so much emotional energy beating yourself up or being concerned about this, like what that person thinks about me. Oh my gosh, we spend so much. That is a stupid, stupid problem. What this person thinks about this thing that I'm going to do, if I fail, if I don't fail, what will they think? What will their perception of that be? Unless that person is like really integral to this other vision and this dream that you have, like chances are it's just literally none of your business. you're probably never going to really know anyway. Stupid problem. Do not give your time trying to solve them. And when you get really ruthless with like, is that a valuable thing to care about?
It frees up space for you to actually focus on really juicy problems. And you know, like, who do I want to be in the world? What is the family culture that I want to build within my home? What is the legacy that I want to live? What is the thing that is bigger than myself that I want to build and that I want to invite other people into? What do I want other people to leave in interaction with me feeling or believing about their self and their place in the world? These are all like really good, juicy questions, but we only have so much mental energy, right? And so it's like, I like to think about like, you've got, you know, you only have so many plucks to give, if you will, right? And we give them away to the stupidest little things. And it's foolish for us to believe that that doesn't deplete us, that it's like at the end of a day spent solving stupid, stupid little problems that we have no business caring about, we actually don't have time and energy for the big juicy ones. And so really encouraging people to be like pretty ruthless and like serious about where you're giving your plucks and like, okay, if you actually solve that problem, is it going to contribute to you being the person you deeply desire to be and building the thing that you want to build in the world? Because that's where we want to spend our time and energy.
Mm. Oh, that's so good. Oh my goodness. Okay. I could just bug you about this book all day and all of these thoughts. So my microphone just flew across the room.
I'm glad we're on video.
You can follow Liz on social media as well. Liz, can you make sure that everybody knows, share like how we can find you and so about your podcast?
Yeah. So you can find me, really the only social media tool that I use because I'm a social media minimalist is really Instagram. So I'm at Liz Bohannon. I do read my DMs, especially if they're coming from Jamie. This podcast is a testament to the fact that I read Jamie's DM. And then my company is called Seiko. It's S-S-E-K-O Designs, and it's on all the socials as well. So you can follow us over there. And that's my day job, my baby. And then my side hustle is my podcast, Plucking Up. It is so fun. We are getting ready to launch season 2, and it is going to be, it's going to be so fun, you guys. I invite really amazing, successful leaders, entrepreneurs, authors, writers, speakers, all kinds of people that are doing wildly amazing things in the world. And then I ask them to come onto the show and one, share a little bit about, more often than not, their very twisty, turny journey of how they got there. And then two, I ask them to share their pluck ups. Because so often we just hear about people's highlight reels and I want to know like the juicy behind the scenes, like, yeah, best-selling book. Yeah. Multi-billion-dollar company. Tell me about the time that you laid awake at night with your face flushing hot and you couldn't stop sweating and you were beating yourself up. Like, tell us about the time that you got rejected. Tell us about the time that you were so embarrassed. Tell us about the time that you were questioning who you are and your worth, and help us understand how you moved through that. I really want to create a community of people that celebrate the wins and the pluck ups and everything in between.
Yeah, I love that so much.
Hey y'all, I wanted to take a quick moment to share with you some info about one of my favorite sponsors of the Jamie Grace podcast. Y'all, when quarantine first started, I was not very interested in this whole online counseling thing because it made me really anxious. And as someone that has anxiety, I had to figure something out because a lot of things make me anxious. Eventually, I gave it a try and I have to say that it's been very beneficial for me. So I want you guys, if you need to check out Faithful Counseling. Whether you have an anxiety diagnosis or you are dealing with the everyday frustrations of life, I can promise you that you will find it beneficial to talk to a counselor through Faithful Counseling. You can go to faithfulcounseling.com/Jamie Grace to learn more about the very affordable counseling that they have and the 4 different ways you can communicate with a clinical therapist. And if you'd like, they can incorporate some faith-based things as well into your counseling. Visit faithfulcounseling.com/Jamie Grace. That's faithfulcounseling.com/Jamie Grace.
This is the part of the show where I ask my guest rapid fire questions. It should probably have a theme song, but I didn't write one. Yay.
What's a TV show or a movie from your childhood that had a positive impact on your life?
Okay, I have 2.
Also, can it be a book?
Yeah.
Okay. So my gut answer, like first thing when I think about TV or movie, is this movie called Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken. Have you ever seen it?
Mm-mm.
Okay. It's from the 90s. I haven't seen it since I was like 8, but it's about this girl who's like a horse jumper. She like jumps off horses off of high dives. She has an accident. She goes blind. I don't even really remember that much about it, but she's very plucky and very gutsy. And I remember as a little girl, like watching that and being like, ooh, that's bad in a good way. So that sticks in my mind for a movie. A more serious answer, and this feels really tender and sweet to me right now in the very, very moment that we're in, is the book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I actually touched on this a tiny bit in Beginner's Pluck. It was so transformative for how I see myself and how I learned about the divine. And it just feels really special right now because I'm reading it to my 4-year-old son. And literally last night we're like 2 chapters to the end of the book. And it just spurred on some really cool conversations with a 4-year-old about, you know, if you're not familiar with the concept, really long story short, there's this little turd in the book and his name's Edmund. And he's just kind of like selfish and he makes bad decisions and he just like wants candy. And this lion that represents God ends up dying on behalf of Edmund to like free Edmund of all, like the other 3 kids are awesome. And then Edmund's the turd. And the lion gives his life for this little turd bucket. And just like laying in bed with my son last night and just like talking about how much the divine loves us, even in the midst of us being little turds who choose candy over like our siblings' lives, you know, and how that doesn't determine our worth and our value, and that the divine created us and delights in us. And to get to like share that experience with my little baby boy, and hope that that infiltrates how he sees himself, how he sees how loved he is by God. And then hopefully out of that, how he loves other people. I don't know. It was just a really special moment that we got to share last night.
Yeah. That's so beautiful. Parenthood is so great. I love reading to our daughter as well. We're in the like chicka chicka boom boom phase. So I can't wait till we get to like chapter books.
It's so good. We just started chapter books this year and it's so fun. Like I'm living my best life from like 8 to 8:30 every night in chapter book land with him.
That is amazing. Yeah. Okay. If there was a movie about your life, what actor would play you?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. What actor would play me? Kristen Wiig? No.
I know that you do like The Greatest Showman. I heard a rumor. Do you have a favorite song from the soundtrack?
Oh my gosh. I love all of them. I sing A Million Dreams to my babies. So it's like really tender. And that's the one that Ben and I both cried in, that we both cried in. So at Seiko, basically I'm just living out all of my dreams for like friendship and community and fun and musicals with this, you know, supposed very legitimate company that I run. But we get together every year. We like take trips around the world together. We do like leadership events and summit events. And in our first big summit that we held in Portland, Oregon, we did a flash mob in the park that was Greatest Showman. We had people in top hats. We like did a dance. So really basically like if you join Seiko, and when I say join Seiko, you can buy Seiko, but you can also like, you can sell Seiko. So we have a community, we have thousands of women across the country that sell the product. It's basically like an affiliate sales model. They can earn a commission off of it. They can earn free product, all this fun stuff. So you like, you know, come to this conference thinking that you're going to learn very serious things about how to build your social impact brand. And instead I'm like, hey, here's this top hat and I'm really going to need you to learn these dance moves. And we're going to do a flash mob in the city park in Portland. So you can't really escape it if you hang out with me for too long.
That is utterly amazing. I'm really glad.
I hope you guys had as much fun listening to that conversation as Liz and I had talking. That was actually the first time that we had ever talked. She's done a photo shoot with my sister before, but we literally talked for like over an hour. And then we decided to go ahead and set up for me to be on her podcast because we're like, we got to talk again and it might be worth keeping. So let's put it on another show. So I hope you guys enjoyed that conversation. By the way, if you are listening to this anytime before March 14th, March 13th, we are having a movie night. Go to jamiegrace.com/movie night. It's totally free. We are going to watch High School Musical together. You you do have to be responsible for getting the movie, whether you watch it Disney Plus, if you've still got the DVD. This is not an illegal movie night situation, okay? You are responsible for getting the movie yourself. But I'm going to be giving you the full commentary. I know this movie like the back of my hand, and I have so many thoughts. So I really hope that you guys will join me. Head over to jamiegrace.com/movie night. It is sponsored by Patreon. And of course, all that info is in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening to the Jamie Grace Podcast, a show all about bridging the gap between mental health and pop culture. I really appreciate you guys listening. That's a really cool thing to do. I'll talk to you guys soon. Okay, bye.